From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will begin a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, a passage often called Faith's Hall of Fame. In the course of these studies, Dr. Cairns will give practical insights into the reality of true faith and how it manifests itself in the lives of God's believing people. The first message in the series is entitled The Activities of Faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Enemies at Peace. The text is Proverbs 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I must see that my ways please the Lord. Even then I shall have enemies, and perhaps all the more certainly because I endeavor to do that which is right. But what a promise this is! The Lord will make the wrath of men to praise him, and abate it so that it shall not distress me. He can constrain an enemy to desist from harming me, even though he has a mind to do so. This he did with Laban, who pursued Jacob, but did not dare to touch him. Or he can subdue the wrath of the enemy and make him friendly, as he did with Esau, who met Jacob in a brotherly manner, though Jacob had dreaded that he would smite him and his family with the sword. The Lord can also convert a furious adversary into a brother in Christ and a fellow worker, as he did with Saul of Tarsus. Oh, that he would do this in every case where a persecuting spirit appears! Happy is the man whose enemies are made to be to him what the lions were to Daniel in the den, quiet and companionable. When I meet death, who is called the last enemy, I pray that I may be at peace. Only let my great care be to please the Lord in all things. Oh, for faith and holiness, for these are a pleasure unto the Most High. As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today, Dr. Cairns begins a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Often referred to as the Hall of Fame of the Heroes of Faith, Hebrews 11 sums up the lives of many of the Old Testament saints with the simple phrase, by faith. In the course of this series, Dr. Cairns will apply the faith of the various characters to the lives of Christ's people today. In introducing the series, Dr. Cairns focuses first of all on the very first verse of the chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Before moving on to the examples of faith, we must understand what the Bible means by faith. To this end, Dr. Cairns first of all addresses the activity of the Christian faith.
Hebrews 10, verse 32. but call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. This morning I want us to turn our attention to the words of the first verse of Hebrews chapter 11. Some of the most famous words in Scripture, often quoted, often debated among Bible scholars and theologians and linguists, and I fear all too often overlooked as to the practical value that they would have in the daily living of God's people. Paul says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and proceeds through the rest of the chapter to give a tremendous catalogue of men and women who by faith did great things for God. If you read the productions of poets, politicians, publicists, preachers even, you'll find that they all have long ago found the value of giving a list of heroic people who did great deeds. And the implication always is, they did it, and so can you. Now, the Word of God uses heroic people to inspire ordinary people to do great things for God. Only, as for instance in this chapter from which we have read, Hebrews chapter 11, in the case of the Word of God, it is never simply a matter of they did it, therefore you can do it. When we read down about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Jacob and all the rest of them, when we read of those who subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained the promises and stopped the mouths of lions, God is not merely telling us, these people did wonderful things, and if you will gather yourself together and screw up your courage and, to use the jargon of modern America, get your act together, then you can do it too. No. The emphasis here is always by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. And write down the list. By faith, these people did great things for God. And the emphasis on the faith, constantly repeated, is a message to you and to me that the Christian life is a life of faith. We are saved by faith. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by faith. The apostle says, we walk by faith and not by sight. The thrice repeated New Testament reference to Habakkuk's words is very, very important. Habakkuk stated it, and then the New Testament repeats it these three times. The just shall live by faith. The whole Christian life, in the secret place, in the public place, in your personal relationship with the Lord, in your service for Christ, in all that you would seek to be and say and do, the Christian life is preeminently the life of faith. Let me make this clear. Some people want to draw such a contrast between faith and works that they misunderstand the Bible entirely. They indeed have come to teach that while we may be saved by faith, we are called upon to make progress by works. And the idea seems to be that it's working without faith. Let me tell you, nothing can be further from the truth. And anything that in the Christian's life is not of faith is of the flesh and is therefore sin. It's a life of faith. And yet the whole subject of faith is shrouded in mystery to many Christians. How often have you heard the term simple faith? Now, I realize that if you use the word simple in its basic sense, then that's a very good statement. The idea of simple, just as the original idea of the word mere, is entire and undivided. In theology, we talk about the simplicity of God. What we're saying is that God is, in his essence, one, entire, and indivisible. And when you talk about simple faith in that sense, then that is a very, very good statement or idea to follow through. But unfortunately, when preachers talk about simple faith, they very often mean to give the idea something that poses no problem to the mind, as something that is altogether easy. And when you talk to serious-minded people about simple faith, meaning simple in the idea of easy, there's something in them that rebels against it, because their own hearts convict them of this, that faith very often is a subject shrouded in the deepest mystery. By some preachers, faith is trivialized. By many Christians, it is caricatured, so that what they speak of as faith is the farthest thing in the world removed from the biblical teaching of this great truth. Then by others, faith is made so mysterious, it's so hedged about with provisos and riders of one kind or another, that people give up in despair of ever coming to grips with faith at all. So faith is not simple in the sense of being easy to grasp. If you read what great preachers and writers have said about faith to try and describe some of its complexity, you'll find that it certainly isn't the easiest thing in the world to grasp. Let me give you a few statements. I think that they are good in and of themselves, as far as they go. One modern writer said, faith is the means by which the infirmity of man lays hold on the infinity of God. That's wonderfully true. And as you're going through life, beset about with many adversaries and feeling your great weakness, it's a wonderful thing to realize that by faith, this little infirm creature can lay hold on the infinite God. It's a wonderful statement about faith. A writer who has left no means of identification has said that faith in the spiritual realm is what money is in the commercial realm. I think that will again give you something of an insight into faith. One old Puritan said, in his own inimitable way, faith is the soul's ears. Faith is that, therefore, which will tune you in to the wavelength of heaven. Faith is that which will allow you to hear what God is saying to your soul. Faith will appropriate the written and spoken word of God. I like the way the great Scottish preacher Thomas Chalmers described faith. He said, faith is like the hand of the beggar that takes the gift without adding anything to it. It's another aspect of faith. And so you could go right on down the list of what great preachers have had to say about faith. C.H. Spurgeon, in his own way, put it, I think, very succinctly and very sweetly. He said, faith is reason at rest in God. Faith is reason at rest in God. With a mind, the intellect, and the entire will, all the faculties of the soul are brought together in a glorious unity of rest in the person, work, and word of God. Now you'll see from all those statements that faith is a very complex thing with diversity within it. I want us today to look at this text that we have chosen, which is one of the basic, one of the great foundational statements of the Bible regarding faith. Now let me just throw in, before we look at it at all, let me throw in a little word of caution. In, I think it was Oxford University, or certainly one of the great schools of England in the last century, a theological professor stood up and he asked, could anyone give me a definition of faith? And immediately one student said, quoting Hebrews chapter 11 and 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he nearly died when the professor said to him, you couldn't really have chosen a worse statement for a definition of faith. And the student was greatly discouraged. And another one was not only discouraged, he was greatly maddened. He felt that this was flippancy and unbelief on the part of his professor. I don't really think so. I think that the professor was using very strong language, as sometimes teachers will do, they will overstate the thing, in order to get their attention. You see, what we have in Hebrews 11 and 1 is not strictly a definition of faith at all. When you define something, you circumscribe it. You say, this is the meaning, and within these limits, you must find the meaning. And outside of that, you don't have the meaning. That is not the meaning at all of Hebrews 11 and 1. It is not strictly a definition. It is rather a description of faith in its vital work in the hearts and lives of God's people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.